This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's time for another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. He is Mike Herzing. I am Matt Perrault. Mike, how are you? Welcome to another edition of the show.
Oh, it's been a great week, buddy. I learned all about daytime television it's crazy.
Why don't you tell everybody why, though? Why are you learning about daytime television?
Because I had a total knee replacement on one side. And so that's those 15 years of racing motorcycles. Actually, almost 20. But it comes back to bite you. And but if I see one more Peloton commercial or learn about my IBS or my A1C, I think I'm going to just jump out in front of a car.
Well, we got a lot coming up here. We got our automotive reviews. Mike's got a vehicle to review that was over $100,000, not bad. Yep. Andrew Ashman's going to stop on by from the U.S. Used car manager for Ford that Mike had a chance to have a conversation with.
Yes.
And our news and notes, we're going to talk a little bit about Tesla leading in the luxury line. It's early in the year 2021, but still a pretty big moment here. And, you know, it's interesting, Mike, that the advertisements for, I think it was General Motors that I saw, you know, that there's such a big, big push right now for EVs or for everyone, right? Not just one type of person. Yeah. It's for all people, which I kind of was like, an EV for everyone. I forget whose tagline. I think that's GM's tagline. But that's really wild that we're already there now.
Yeah, but because they're leading and they're way up in the front of the EV surge. Right. And so they've got a great product. Matter of fact, Honda and Acura are going to use some of GM products. The GM is going to build Acura and Honda EVs for them. So, I mean, think of that. If you go back 25 years, it was flipped over. Honda, it was building cars for GM, you know, so GM's in a pretty good place right now. They really are.
Yeah, and so people are responding to it, and people are receptive to it. They're interested. They're paying attention. And clearly by what we're seeing with Tesla, that people are shopping, and they're interested in asking these questions. And like we always say, like, you know, the consumer leads the manufacturer, not vice versa. And if the consumer is asking for it and the consumer wants it, then we're going to see more and more and watch this market continue to grow. So we'll get further into that coming up next year with Tesla with our news and notes segment and our automotive reviews. And then we'll talk to Andy Ashman from Ford, their U.S. used car manager. All that and more coming up. It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing, Matt Perrault. News and notes time for us here on the program. Let's start talking, Mike, a bit about Tesla. They are sitting atop the U.S. luxury sales segment as of right now. That is early into 2021. But what does that tell you? That Tesla right now is the hottest selling luxury vehicle?
Well, that, and they've got this other plant getting ready to go on board in Texas. So, but you think about that. But what's really surprising is they're really the owner loyalty, the level of owner loyalty. They've got an owner loyalty rate of 55%. And people that buy Teslas are going to buy another one. That's with the bottom line. And you can't say that about some of the Mercedes and Lexus and BMW folks. I mean, it's really kind of crazy.
Well, I just speak from a Vegas perspective, and I've told you this story before, but here in Vegas, I mean, it's almost akin to a Mercedes. It's almost akin to an Acura or a Lexus. You just see them everywhere.
Everywhere.
Now, we've got a plant here in Nevada that produces the battery. So, you know, Tesla has been heavily in marketing in Nevada and people in Las Vegas, but there is just something about the vehicle that people really like. And at my kid's school, I mean, the SUV, the Tesla SUV is becoming kind of like the Grand Cherokee used to be when I was in high school, when that green, the first ever SUV. And it was like a very status symbol type of vehicle to have this, you know, Jeep Grand Cherokee. This is what that Tesla is. And whether it be the doors opening up or just the overall look of the vehicle, just a lot of people are really interested in are buying this thing here in Nevada. And it's a great vehicle here in Nevada to have simply because, yes, air conditioning does burn the battery out, but you don't deal with really any other serious element. And as long as you're not going off-roading, it's strictly on the road, not a lot of ice, not a lot of snow, not a lot of cold to worry about. And that really just makes it a lot more simple to run. So I get it. I get why people love it. And I don't see it stopping. I'd love to find out the West Coast luxury sales versus the East Coast luxury right. sales.
Well,
it still feels like it's a West Coast vehicle.
Well, it started on the West Coast. Right. You know, that's when it started, you know, but some of the other thing that IHS Market, did the survey was I didn't know that General Motors are the top manufacturer for automotive loyalty in the U.S. in 2020. It was a sixth consecutive year for General Motors to win the overall loyalty of the manufacturer and the 17th time they've done it in 25 years.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. And a lot of it has to do with this his full-size SUVs, which, you know, like, for example, the Suburbans, the Tahoes, the Escalades, they own that 60%, 65% of that full-size SUV market is theirs.
Wow.
So 93%. Of returning owners are going to purchase another GM vehicle or SUV. 93%. That's crazy. Is
that surprising to you?
Yeah, it is. It is. But it also makes you realize, well, of course, I've never met anybody that didn't like their Tahoe or their Suburban.
Right.
That just, yeah. And 5-10 years later, they were just, I'm going to get another one.
Right.
I've got so many people that I met. Even when I went into the hospital, the nurse there that was helping me said, she listened to the show and she wanted to know the new Tahoe. So she's on her second one. She's going to get a third. Huh. And I'm like, you know, they love them. They don't think about changing brands. They don't think about Expedition. You know, it's Expedition second. And then there would be, Armada as third. Armada has 9% of the market, way ahead of anything Toyota's got. So that was interesting to learn, but you know, it's crazy.
Well, when it comes to full size SUVs, you know, is there a type of like, I don't see much marketing out there. For these vehicles, they don't need to, right?
They don't have to.
Right.
They don't have to. They just
know about them, right?
They can sell. They build them here in Arlington, all of them, and the Tahoes, the Yukons, you know, the GMC version, the Chevy version, and the Cadillac, all built here in Arlington, and they sold like crazy. I mean, they can use them for airport limousines. I was in one of them just recently, had 400,000 miles on it. Huh. You know, and the guy, I think I was going to Vegas, as a matter of fact, went 400,000 miles on it. And the guy picked me up. And I said, how's this thing? He goes, he said, it's 5 years old, got 400,000 miles on it. I'm going to get another one. You know, it's not, I'm going to change brands. I'm going to look at the Expedition. No, I'm going to get another one. It's crazy. Yeah,
so how does the EV market affect that brand loyalty? Does it mean they'll just get an electrified Tahoe?
Yes, they'll wait for a hybrid probably. They'll probably go with a hybrid. Okay. But now they've got the diesel Tahoe, which I had the other day, got 26 miles a gallon on it. So, wow. You know, that's kind of hard to beat. But whenever they buy it, it's going to last, you know, they're 10, 15 years old. We see them here all the time. They mm-hmm. used to call them the state vehicle of Texas for years. And you know, see them with 300,000 miles often, okay, all the time. And it's just like, but people just keep driving them. They're still comfortable. They're still quiet. They have a few problems here and there, you know, the wear items. But other than that, I mean, nobody else has anything that can keep up with that. They really can't.
Yeah, that's the brand loyalty is something special. And just the fact that you have Tesla and you have these other cars, you know, right. coming online, like what does the $100,000 Jeep do? I mean, That's who they're going after, right? That's the market
right.
they're trying to
get. That's their market.
Right?
Well, they're going to have two Wagoneers, the Grand Wagoneer, which will be the top of the line. It goes up against the Escalade, the Navigator, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have the regular Wagoneer, which is going to be goes up against like the Tahoe and Suburban and this kind of stuff. It's going to be a smaller, you know, a less expensive one. One's going to be 60 or 70. One of them's going to be 80 and up. So, but it's just going to be loaded with more crazy stuff. And I found out that Apple, that Fire TV
right.
does stay on for the passenger as you're driving.
Oh my, that's something else. That really is something else. But in traffic, you know what? If you're living in Chicago, New York, LA, Houston,
right.
That's really nice. I mean, what's interesting, the Navigator is a vehicle that I've seen a little bit more recently here in Vegas.
Sure.
I've seen for a really long time. It feels like it took a long time for people really to get it. Because I remember seeing that at the LA Auto Show with you. And I remember thinking that thing was gorgeous. Like I was like, yes, man, this thing's going to sell like crazy. And it took a while, but I'm finally seeing that thing out there because it really is a nice vehicle. That's a gorgeous, gorgeous truck.
I can't figure out why Ford is bound to determine not to market anything Lincoln. I don't know why. They don't market them. They really don't. It's very subtle. And I know they do some marketing, but not much. But it's not. But don't forget, for years, everybody had the Wagoneer, and the Grand Wagoneer was the, you know, was the, you know, the 70s and 80s version of the Land Rover. So right. Land Rover took that market from Wagoneer, and now they're going to get it. I'm sure they're going to get most of it back. People want to drive American if they can. Don't get me wrong. It's really, I mean, we all would, you know, put something back in the country. What the hell?
All right. Well, we got a crazy story involving a truck dangling off of a bridge in Idaho.
Yep.
So a couple was saved by a couple of heroic first responders after their truck crashed over the railing of the Mallet George Bridge on Interstate 84 in Idaho. A Ford F-150 towing a Flagstaff Super Light RV trailer was found dangling by a single trailer safety chain. It was about 100 feet to the canyon floor, a drop that would have most likely meant death for the couple's, for the truck's occupants, a couple of people, and two dogs. I mean, this is hairy stuff, Mike. You're hanging off a single chain, right?
Yep. As soon as they saw him, they got some people there with an 18-wheeler that threw another chain and wrapped it around the bumper. Rear axle was torn off of this thing. It's crazy. Then they finally got some people to rappel down there and get them out. That's scary as hell for people that pull a trailer. It's another reason to use safety chains, because a lot of people I say that they don't want to use safety chains. And I said, no, you really need to. In case your trailer comes loose, it won't go anywhere.
What's the hesitancy of using safety chains?
There are idiots out there that say, oh, when the trailer goes off my vehicle, I don't want to be around it. I'm not going to have it pull me to the side. I'm going to have it, you know. But nowadays, you know, I'm surprised the F-150 had this problem, because they have anti-sway things in the vehicle. It works with a trailer. I mean, so
it was an 04, they have, though. So is that why?
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, probably why.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have that. It started that in around eight or 10. They started the sway control and things, but nowadays it applies to brakes. It'll do this thing for you and keep your trailer from getting away from you. And these folks here, I hate to say that because they were my age, they lost control, and they were just by the grace of God, they didn't, you know, them and their dogs made it out. You can't beat that.
67 and 64 years old, dangling by a single chain, looking down at 100-foot drop.
Right.
I don't know what your undergarments are looking like after that, but my guess is they're not dry.
They're soiled.
That is, I don't know how you're not just having an absolute, because how do you know what's keeping you from dropping? I mean, how do you know you can't see it. I mean, you're hanging over the edge and you're just looking up and you're like, okay, when do we fall? Like at what point does it snap? And we start dropping down 100 feet to our pending doom.
Yeah. It's like when you see a seagull land on, or a bird land on your fender, all of a sudden that extra weight snaps the chains and you break.
Right.
It's like watching a cartoon, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's something kind of like Tom and Jerry or something, where it's just like a feather drops and that's too much weight. And all of a sudden everything just falls apart.
Exactly. Right.
But it's a happy ending. Everyone's okay. And they just got taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. And, you know, they were taken for evaluation. But the dogs were fine. The couple was fine. And, you know, I've never seen this happen before. But anyone not putting safety chains, show them this story. And I think
no kidding,
more inclined to put safety chains on their back of their truck for their SUV, because it literally saved the life of a couple and two dogs from hurling down. All right, automotive reviews are coming up next. Mike and I will tell you what we're driving around this week, and then we'll talk to a guy from Ford. It is Let's Talk Wheels. Don't move here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Folks, this week I was driving the 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Now, the model I had was called the Premium Luxury, which is really the top of the food chain when it comes to this. You can get this. There are a lot of changes for 2021. This is the fifth generation Escalade. You can either get it with the standard 6.2-liter V8, or you can go with a 3-liter diesel. Now, they both have a 10-speed transmission, and they're both awesome powertrains. This is a big vehicle. It will scoot. They upgraded the interior. If that's possible, the interior is much nicer. The nice aluminum grills and the leather covered this and that and wood this, and it's just nice. They really comfortable. It's always been really one of the most. This is one of those vehicles I get and go, man, this would be great to have on a trip. You see them as airport limousines. I was in one last fall at a trip and the guy's driving an Escalade. And I said, how many? He goes, it's got 400,000 miles on it. And he's just done regular maintenance. And I'm like, well, that's how these things last. The styling is better. I see new independent rear suspension. Not only has it got airbags and a little air suspension, it'll raise and lower. But with the independent rear suspension, not only do you have a better ride, but you also have more room inside because there's no hump for the rear axle. So the third row passenger really has actual leg room. And it's really cool. Now, this thing is loaded with safety features, all of the driver assistance goodies that you're going to want, including some of my favorite things like heads-up display. And it's got over 38 inches of digital display all over the place. But now the heads-up, you can adjust what goes in the heads-up so you can see what you're watching. And you can move the gauges around. You can do all that kind of stuff. It has all of the cross traffic alerts and the backup cameras and all of the buzzes, the seats. And it just keeps you from getting in trouble because this is not the biggest one. They still have the Escalade, the extended one. But the exciting thing to me was called the GM Super Cruise. But let me finish off. It has heated and cooled seats, heated and cooled cup holders. It has, the nicer interior. It's just really nice. This one had an audio system that was really neat. 36 speaker surround sound. That's crazy. How's the driver assistance package with air adaptive ride suspension? It's just adaptive cruise control. But the most exciting thing was Super Cruise. You can't get around all this. You see how these people about having the Teslas, their autopilot. This thing is awesome. If you've got the roads mapped, and I think they have around 200,000 miles of roads that are mapped, that are in the system, you can push the button and it will drive you. I went 21 miles on our Grand Parkway and around the turns and stuff. It keeps you exactly in the center of the lane. I mean, exactly. It even moved. There was some debris and I was going to grab the wheel, but it kind of made a beeping sound and went around it. That was really cool. And if somebody's slowing down in front of you, you just hit the turn signal and it will move over for you. You can go past that person, hit the turn signal, go back in your lane. It does it all for you. If this is the future, then you can sign me up because it's really nice. But you've got to look at the new interior. You've got to look at the new dashboard. You got to look at all the electronic goodies. Now, not only does it have all the apps and all of the infotainment, it's just Cadillac calls it the Q system, the infotainment. It has all the Siri and the Alexas and all that good stuff and Apple CarPlay wireless and Android Auto wireless. It has everything you want. But it still has knobs. So look down the center console, there are still knobs. Thank you. There are some things you need knobs for. Okay. I'm just an old fart and that's what I like. That's been great. This thing drives good on the highway. Like I said, you see them with a gazillion miles on them. That's great. Had remote start, heated steering wheel, just 12-way power adjustment seats, 4-way lumbar adjustments. The second row is power release, heated seats. It's just, even the passengers are going to enjoy this thing. And like I said, I've been in a lot of limos that are these things that people just, they just love them and the driver's in them all day. And he says, I can be in this all day and still be comfortable. And so if you're going to take this on the highway, oh my gosh, pulling a trailer or pulling a travel trailer or something, how much fun is that going to be? Tons of horsepower. Now that they've got the straight six diesel, it's even more exciting to have that. Guys, if you haven't seen the full size GM SUVs, the Yukon, the Suburban, the Tahoe, the Yukon XL, or the Escalade, either the long one or the short one, I tell you what, you're going to have to. If you haven't seen them, you've got to go check them out. The 2021 Escalade fifth generation, they've really done some great changes. And yeah, they're expensive, but they all are. So check them out.
Hey, folks, this week I was driving the 2021 Buick Envision. Now, the model I had was the Evinair, and that's the top of the food chain when it comes to the trim levels. You can also get the Essence and all the way down to the Preferred. They're all nice because this is the Buick. One of my favorite vehicles. It's a midsize premium crossover. You know, don't forget, this vehicle is made in China, which is okay, and because Buick sells more vehicles in China than they do in the United States. This is an awesome vehicle. This is the second generation for this. The first one was nice. This one is really nice. This is much, I think it's just cleaner, okay? The coolest thing about it, besides looking good, and I had a couple of people stop me and go, man, it's a good-looking little car. And it's not little. It's mid-size, okay? And, of course, I've been driving nothing but big Tahoes and Suburbans and Yukons and stuff like these. So for everybody else, this is kind of a smaller car. But it's nice and comfortable. If it's a young family or you're a young executive or something like that, you want something nice or going to grad school or something, this is it. First thing is when you get in it, it's the comfortable interior. Really nice leather seats. They're comfortable. They're you know, all these adjustable power seats and things. And you look at the dash and it kind of wraps around you. First thing you do is like, wow, this thing is nice. Got a nice big screen for you for all the infotainment system. It's got all the apps are all up there and things like that. But everything is so – it's just so available to the driver. It just – like I said, it wraps around you. And it's like you're in a plane or something. It's just really cool. And everything just kind of easy to see. It's one of these – this is one of those infotainment systems that the best part about it is you don't have to sit there and read the owner's manual for 25 minutes just to figure out how to turn something on. It's right there for you. And it just feels comfortable. And that's what I like about most of these Buicks is they're just comfortable. You feel like you're kind of going home. And that's what you want. It's a good-looking car inside, too. And outside, too, it's sharp. But inside, it's really comfortable. And it rides good. It's quiet on the highway. I took a nice highway trip and thing. I didn't get to 31 miles per gallon on the highway, maybe because I'm a crazy driver, but I ended up getting pretty good. It says it's going to get you your average between highway and city was 26. I think I got 23, but that's okay. It's fun to drive. It scoots around. It's got a little 2-liter turbo and 9-speed automatic transmission. It scoots around really well. And that's fun. This thing has a base price of $40,000, a little over 40. And this one's, like I said, this is the absolute loaded to the gills. And it has some technology packages and things like that with the auto parking assist. This has all of that automatic, you know, all the safety features that everybody, all these cars have and everybody wants. Rear camera mirror. That's one of my favorite things. It's got the camera mirror. So you got somebody with a big head behind you in the back seat. You don't have to worry about that. It's got the camera mirror. It's so nice to have that on a, you know, at night and things like that. Once you have a rear camera mirror, rearview mirror, you're not gonna want a car without it. It's got really nice LED headlights, and it's got enhanced automatic emergency braking, adaptive cruise control, all that stuff that on a lot of vehicles don't have it. And all this stuff with all this add-ons here, it was with shipping and everything, it's $45,000. That's sticker. You can get way off a sticker. That's not a problem. But like I said, it had nice big 20-inch aluminum wheels. It had all this. By the way, it's got a nice little center stack and everything. And then the center console is really cool for the cup holders and everything. Don't forget, this is not a big car, but it is comfortable. And it's just roomy. And they do a real good use of the space you do have. But it's really cool. Next to this, to the cup holders and stuff, is these little buttons that you just kind of pull onto them, okay? And those are the shifter, you know, reverse, park, neutral, and things like that. That is so neat. And it's just nice not to have the stalk sticking out, things like that. But it has all the heads. This one had a heads-up display, which is really kind of nice. Remote start, thank you. I love the keyless entry and start like that. Wireless charging, universal home remote to open your garage doors and stuff. I know that's something but there's a lot of vehicles that don't have it. It had the OnStar and the 4G LTE hotspot. And it's just, you know, OnStar, I just love it so much. It's been such a great thing for so many people. It's got, you know, power seats, 8-way power seats with all the memory settings, heated driver front and passenger front seats. It's heated rear outboard seats, the rear seats. It's got, you know, 60-40 folding second row seats.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing, along with Matt Perrault. Okay, we've been talking the last few weeks about the Grand Cherokee, the new Grand Cherokee, and the new Grand Wagoneer and Wagoneer, and how crazy all this video stuff and everything. And of course, what am I going to do? We're going to get hold of our buddy Jim Morrison. We've just got him on the line, the vice president of Jeep North America. Jimmy, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels for about the gazillionth time. Jim, man, you've been going crazy up there developing all the new Jeeps, the new 3Tiny2, the, you know, everything. And then you've got the Grand Cherokee, which has been such a favorite.
Oh, for sure. You know, we've got a lot going on. It's the 80th anniversary of Jeep. So, you know, we're busy celebrating, you know, being true to form after 80 years back to 1941. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of fun. We've got, you know, 80th special editions across the range. And then we're right in the thick of things, you know, with launching the Wrangler 392. First time we put a V8 in a Wrangler in almost 30 years. And, you know, it's got more torque than you can imagine. The 0-60 in 4.5 seconds, and it's just a blast to drive. we're taking those things out to Moab this week and can't wait to drive the trails with that. And then follow it up quickly with electrified Wrangler, a 4xe, which, you know, the customers are eagerly waiting for. That, we'll start shipping out to dealers next month.
Sure.
And then the month after that, we got the new Grand Cherokee. First in three-row form, and in both the V6 and the 5.7 V8 and the new Grand Cherokee. And then, of course, just after that, we got the new Grand Wagoneer and Wagoneer. So, you know, bringing back those historic nameplates is really, you know, quite special when you think of, you know, back 30 years ago, you know, Grand Wagoneer was the epitome of luxury SUVs in America, had the highest income customers of any customer on the planet, even more than Porsche and Ferrari and everything. Mm-hmm. So really excited about bringing that nameplate back in the market as well.
Well, you know, you're right. And I remember, you look in the 70s and 80s, everybody in Hollywood and everybody, period, had a Wagoneer or Grand Wagoneer. They were just unbelievable, you know, especially with a wood panel on the sides. But when they went away, I guess Land Rover took over the market. But I have a feeling that people are going to see the Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer, and that'll be an end to that in the Land Rovers and things like that, right?
Well, you know, that's our plan because, you know, you think about it, the on the top end of the range, you know, really there's only a couple of solutions for customers, you know, that are looking for that kind of top-end rig, and we're able to do it now with American luxury and premium like nobody else can. And we're also doing it in that warm way that you'd expect from a Grand Wagoneer. It's not kind of sterile and don't get anything, you know, in or on my full-size SUV. Yeah. This is a vehicle that you can work with and play with and also show the world that you're, you know, very successful at what you're doing with it. So it's going to be a great addition to the range with the new Grand Wagoneer.
Well, you're going to jump into that market, which you haven't been out of for a while. And I tell you what, it's going to be a good one. Now, Matt and I have been talking the last few weeks without, you know, knowing I was going to get you on the air, but about this new Apple Fire TV. And explain to the folks deals that you guys have done.
Well, it's starting out on the Grand Wagoneer, and then we'll bring it into Grand Cherokee later in the year as well. But it's great because, you know, you start up Amazon, you know, Prime on your TV in your house, you're halfway through an episode, you fire up your Grand Wagoneer and you go out and you flip it over to your Grand Wagoneer, which has 75 inches of screen, by the way. So not a small amount of screen, and for the first time ever, a passenger screen. So the passenger can start up Amazon, Fire TV. They can watch it if they're parked. They can watch it in the center, the passenger, and the two screens in the back. And then once the vehicle gets in motion, you can even watch it on the passenger screen up front. The driver can't see it, so it doesn't have to worry about being distracted. And then, you know, the the passengers in the back seat, they can watch even different episodes that they're watching. So you can have one guy watching, you know, the Disney Channel, and somebody else watching, you know, their latest Avengers movie. So it's, you know, every little bit of something for everyone.
I know you got teens and teams to just think of this stuff, but my gosh, how have you been able to bring in so many new big changes and so many models in 1 year? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It just means a lot of people don't sleep, you know, I mean, there's a lot of efficiencies, you know, a lot of the technology that we have in the new Grand Cherokee, you know, or in the new Grand Wagoneer. So there's some efficiencies there. You know, certainly the new Uconnect 5 radio, you know, it's all part of, you know, what's in both vehicles. But then, you know, the added, you know, capability, you know, both vehicles have got the best four-wheel drive system. So, you know, the Grand Wagoneers are all coming standard with four-wheel drive. They've got a quad-drive 2 system that can actively transfer the torque around. So it'll get you absolutely to your favorite fishing spot, or in the Northeast, get you through even the worst snowstorm winter can throw at you, and do it in a very confident way like you'd expect from us. But I think for Grand Wagoneer, the real story is when you approach the vehicle and the nice warm lighting that shows up that says Grand Wagoneer on the puddle lamp on the ground, you know, you open it up and the deployable step pops out for you. And then you look at the interior and you see an interior that I would put toe-to-toe with any vehicle in the marketplace, not just, you know, full-size competitors, compares. I would put it against the best of any luxury vehicle in the marketplace today. The team has done an absolute amazing job with the fit, the finish. There's more real wood, more real leather, more real metal than any of the competitors have.
You know, the funny thing is, you get a luxury vehicle like that, you know, when you get the Grand Wagoneer and you get it loaded, it's going to be like the Escalade and some of the other vehicles, the Navigator and all that, and some of the Mercedes, that it's $100,000 or more. I had one the other day, had a Escalade, it was $106,000. But if you're kind of get stuck somewhere and weather gets really bad and you're just really, you know, just a little bit nervous about it, like, oh yeah, what have I gotten myself in the middle of? There's nothing better than knowing that you're in a Jeep, you know, right? Because I've got one, you know, and it's and it feels the same way. You're like, okay, I've got the Jeep. I'm not worried. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, for sure. And, you know, you think of those customers that are in those $100,000 rigs. They've got a lot of purchasing power to buy the best of whatever they want.
Right.
And, you know, we've been out of the marketplace for a while, and we left the marketplace being the best, and now we're back in the marketplace, and we have the best solution for them. So, you know, they have the best four-wheel drive. They have the best interior space, you know, middle, back, storage in the back, third row, same thing for the people in the back. It's got the best towing, 10,000 pounds, just smokes the competition. You know how much I like hauling horse trailers around, so we had to make sure that it had all the cool tech that we've developed, you know, over the years, you know, applies to Grand Wagoneer and does it in a way that, you know, you use the air suspension, you lower it down, you back up with the high def camera that zeroes right in with the line, line it up to your ball. You get under the trailer hitch, the Grand Wagoneer, you lift it back up, it'll do all the heavy lifting for you, and you're hooked up in 30 seconds. You know, all the confidence you have moving down the road with a fully balanced load at 10,000 pounds, you know, not that you even, you know, even if you have 5,000 pounds, a couple of horses, you'll love to have the extra capability. And it's that nice, confident style that nobody else can. So we're really excited to bring the new Grand Wagoneer.
Well, yeah, I'm having that extra help. You know, that way you don't have to have skinny horses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing worse than skinny horses.
Yeah. And but no, it's just great. I know with the new company, Stellantis, you've gone in with Peugeot and some, you know, kind of made a bigger company, a lot bigger company. How is that really going to help your technology for the future? Having that, kind of a bigger company to draw from, is that going to help a lot?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, on efficiencies with purchasing, R&D, and then technology development, you know, across the larger number of vehicles, you know, we're in the top five, you know, number with total volume around the world now. And it's going to be really good for our customers that they will see, you know, a quicker implementation of technology over the years. So really looking forward to more positive things to come.
You know, it's just, you guys have just, I just can't believe that you guys have done so much in the last just a couple of years, you know, with the new Wrangler and just, and all the changes you've made. And I know at some point you're going to have to take a break and go on vacation or something, but your whole team is, they're just like superstars for the company, aren't they?
We do have a really, really strong group of people. You know, we get to enjoy really the next few days and getting ready to go to Moab to, you know, to connect with the most avid the most avid of our enthusiasts, you know, that can't wait to drive off road and listen to customers and really connect with our customer base out in Moab, Utah, the right. Easter Jeep Safari. Looking forward to that, but it's a really good team that we have here at Jeep, and I look forward to continue to grow.
See, now you can tow your really off-roaded, you're really whack, you know, wild Wrangler. You can tow it with your Grand Wagoneer. That's the cool part.
Yeah, you know, in fact, it was one of the last-minute ideas that we had because last time I was in Moab, I was miffed with seeing some competitive stuff hauling, you know, the lifted, modded Jeeps. So now we've got a perfect solution. You have a Grand Wagoneer that can tow 10,000 pounds. You can put two of your modded rigs on the back and tow it nicely in style in a new Grand Wagoneer. So can't wait to see some of those probably next year. With people in Moab.
Yeah. Now what everybody's going to ask me as soon as this thing airs this weekend and everybody. I'll get a gazillion emails, probably at least 100, about when's it going to be available and things like that. Is this chip shortage going to affect you guys? I know it will some. How's that all going for y'all?
You know, we're managing the chip shortage thing pretty well, and we're certainly keeping up with our customer orders and trying to balance that out so our customers don't have to wait, which is the good news. And then the other good news is we've got. You know, the Grand Wagoneer is available for order right now. You can go on to Wagoneer.com and do a pre-order right now. And we're looking to have those in the marketplace the summer. So it's not far away from the marketplace at all. And customers can look and dream, or they can place their order right now. And I think we can't wait to invite new customers, you know, into the Grand Wagoneer family.
That is so awesome. Now, Jimmy, what about the Grand Cherokee? Is that going to be – you start building those pretty quick?
Yeah, the plant is starting up now here in Detroit. We've got a new state-of-the-art facility right here in the home of the brand. Mm-hmm. And we're building the pilots now and actually got one in the driveway. And it's been amazing. The ride quality, the interior opulence, the quietness, the technology, you know, with the big 12-inch screens, it's really, really nice technology. And you know me and Grand Cherokees, I've always got a Grand Cherokee in the driveway.
I know.
And this is the best one we've done yet. So can't wait to share with you guys and look forward to winning some more awards with that. As you know, Grand Cherokee is the most awarded SUV ever.
All right.
With a lot of help from you. This is the next generation is absolutely taking it to the next level. Capability, luxury, technology, all of what you'd expect from Jeep and the new Grand Cherokee is coming your way too.
Well, you know, I think people are going to embrace that. I mean, it's nothing. It's very cool off-road, especially the Wrangler, where you can hold that 25 miles of range till you get off-road and then use it then. I think that is the coolest idea.
And one of the things we're really proud of that we're announcing this weekend as well is a new charging station. So we're going to if you weren't smart enough to remember to push the button on your Wrangler to save all of the battery for the trail.
Right.
We're going to have solar powered charging station so that you can plug in your Jeep right at the trail, which, you know, everybody else might think the proper place to put a charging station is, you know, in downtown. But, of course, the Jeep guys, we put it on the trail. So, you know, we'll be showing that here here this weekend.
Jim, that's great. Now, what's the website for you guys?
Jeep.com.
Jeep.com. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us as always.
Great talking to you.
All right, folks, that was Jim Morrison, Vice President of Jeep North America. Don't go away. There's more to come, including our weekly classic car segment, Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. All of it right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Let's Duck Wheels on the Let's Duck Wheels Radio Network by Herzing Matt Perrault. You guys can always find us on Instagram and on Facebook by searching Let's Talk Wheels here across the network. And on the podcast, we get the conversation every week from Jeremy Berenbaum and Mike Herzing on our podcast by searching Let's Duck Wheels where you get your podcasts. But what's the conversation on this week, Mike?
Just about kit cars and some of the do's and don'ts. And, you know, once your little Cobra, Shelby Cobra. You know, things like that. You want to get it without spending $1 million. You want to get it for spending 25 or 30. This is how you do it. And it's really cool. It's what's some do's and don'ts and a lot of interesting stuff and about where to get some parts. So a lot of classic car stuff is really buzzing right now. Hey, it's the time of the market. It's spring.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing along with Matt Perrault. Okay, we've been talking the last few weeks about the Grand Cherokee, the new Grand Cherokee and the new Grand Wagoneer and Wagoneer and how crazy all this video stuff and everything. And of course, what am I going to do? We're going to get hold of our buddy Jim Morrison. We've just got him on the line, the Vice President of Jeep North America. Jimmy, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels for about the gazillionth time.
Yeah, I think as interviews go, I think this is the number one rated on the Jim Morrison hit list anyway.
Yeah, it is. Jim, man, you've been going crazy up there developing all the new Jeeps, the new 392, the, you know, everything. And then you've got the Grand Cherokee, which has been such a favorite, has grown up, but now the Wagoneer, and that's when you're getting into some serious business here, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, we've got a lot going on. It's the 80th anniversary of Jeep, so, you know, we're busy celebrating, you know, being true to form after 80 years, back to 1941. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of fun. We've got, you know, 80th special editions across the range, and then we're right in the thick of things, you know, with launching the Wrangler 392, first time we put a V8 in a Wrangler in almost 30 years, and you know, it's got more torque than you can imagine. The 0-60 in 4.5 seconds, and it's just a blast to drive. We're taking those things out to Moab this week, and can't wait to drive the trails with that, and then follow it up quickly with an electrified Wrangler, a 4xe. Which you know, the customers are eagerly waiting for. That will start shipping out to dealers next month.
Sure.
And then the month after that, we've got the new Grand Cherokee, first in three-row form, and in both the V6 and the 5.7 V8 in the new Grand Cherokee. And then, of course, just after that, we got the new Grand Wagoneer and Wagoneer. So, you know, bringing back those historic nameplates is really, you know, quite special when you think of, you know, back 30 years ago, you know, Grand Wagoneer was the epitome of luxury SUVs in America, had the highest income customers of any customer on the planet, even more than Porsche and Ferrari and everything. Mm-hmm. So really excited about bringing that nameplate back in the market as well.
Well, you know, you're right. And I remember, you look in the 70s and 80s, everybody in Hollywood and everybody, period, had a Wagoneer or a Grand Wagoneer. They were just unbelievable, you know, especially with a wood panel on the sides. But when they went away, I guess Land Rover took over the market. But I have a feeling that people are going to see the Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer, and that'll be an end to that in Land Rovers and things like that, right?
Well, you know, that's our plan because, you know, you think about it, the on the top end of the range, you know, really there's only a couple of solutions for customers, you know, that are looking for that kind of top end rig, and we're able to do it now with American luxury and premium like nobody else can, and we're also doing it in that warm way that you'd expect from a Grand Wagoneer. It's not kind of sterile, and you know, don't get anything you know, in on my full size SUV.
Yeah.
This is a vehicle that you can work with and play with, and also show the world that you're, you know, very successful at what you're doing with it. So it's going to be a great addition to the range with the new Grand Wagoneer.
Well, you're going to jump into that market, which you haven't been out of for a while, and I tell you what, it's going to be a good one. Now, Matt and I have been talking the last few weeks without, you know, knowing I was going to get you on the air, but about this new Apple Fire TV, and explain to the folks deals that you guys have done.
Well, it's starting out on the Grand Wagoneer, and then we'll bring it into Grand Cherokee later in the year as well. But it's great because, you know, you start up Amazon, you know, Prime on your TV in your house. You're halfway through an episode, you fire up your Grand Wagoneer and you go out and you flip it over to your Grand Wagoneer, which has 75 inches of screen, by the way, so not a small amount of screen. And for the first time ever, a passenger screen. So the passenger can start off Amazon Fire TV. They can watch it if they're parked. They can watch it in the center, the passenger, and the two screens in the back. And then once the vehicle gets in motion, you can even watch it on the passenger screen up front. The driver can't see it, so it doesn't have to worry about being distracted. And then, you know, the passengers in the back seat, they can watch even different episodes that they're watching. So you can have one guy watching, you know, the Disney Channel, and somebody else watching, you know, their latest Avengers movie. So it's, you know, every little bit of something for everyone.
I know you got teens and teams to just think of this stuff, but my gosh, how have you been able to bring in so many new big changes and so many models in 1 year? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It just means a lot of people don't sleep, you know, I mean, there's a lot of efficiencies, you know, a lot of the technology that we have in the new Grand Cherokee, you know, or in the new Grand Wagoneer. So there's some efficiencies there, you know, certainly the new Uconnect 5, radio, you know, it's all part of, you know, what's in both vehicles. But then, you know, the added, you know, capability, you know, both vehicles have got the best four-wheel drive system. So, you know, the Grand Wagoneers are all coming standard with four-wheel drive. They've got a quad-drive 2 system that can actively transfer the torque around. So it'll get you absolutely to your favorite fishing spot, or in the Northeast, get you through even the worst snowstorm winter can throw at you, and do it in a very confident way like you'd expect from us. But I think for Grand Wagoneer, the real story is when you approach the vehicle and the nice warm lighting that shows up that says Grand Wagoneer on the puddle lamp on the ground. You know, you open it up and the deployable step pops out for you. And then you look at the interior and you see an interior that I would put toe-to-toe with any vehicle in the marketplace, not just, you know, full-size competitors.
Yeah.
Compares. I would put it against the best of any luxury vehicle in the marketplace today. The team has done an absolute amazing job with the fit, the finish. There's more real wood, more real leather, more real metal than any of the competitors have.
You know, the funny thing is, you get a luxury vehicle like that, you know, when you get the Grand Wagoneer and you get it loaded, it's going to be like the Escalade and some of the other vehicles, the Navigator and all that, and some of the Mercedes, that it's $100,000 or more. I had one the other day, had a Escalade, it was $106,000. But if you're kind of get stuck somewhere and weather gets really bad and you're just really, you know, just a little bit nervous about it, like, oh yeah, what have I gotten myself in the middle of? There's nothing better than knowing that you're in a Jeep, you know, right? Because I've got one, you know, and it's
and
it feels the same way. You're like, okay, I've got the Jeep. I'm not worried. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, for sure. And, you know, you think of those customers that are in those $100,000 rigs, they've got a lot of purchasing power to buy the best of whatever they want.
Right.
And, you know, it's we've been out of the marketplace for a while, and we left the marketplace being the best, and now we're back in the marketplace, and we have the best solution for them. So, you know, they have the best four-wheel drive. They have the best interior space, you know, middle, back, storage in the back, third row, same thing for the people in the back. It's got the best towing, 10,000 pounds, wow. Just smokes the competition. you know how much I like hauling horse trailers around. So yeah. We had to make sure that it had all the cool tech that that we've developed, you know, over the years, you know, applies to Grand Wagoneer and does it in a way that, you know, you use the air suspension, you lower it down, you back up with the high def camera that zeroes right in with the line, line it up to your ball. You get under the trailer hitch, the Grand Wagoneer, you lift it back up, it'll do all the heavy lifting for you, and you're hooked up in 30 seconds. You know, all the confidence you have moving down the road with a fully balanced load at 10,000 pounds. You know, not that even if you have 5,000 pounds, a couple of horses, you'll love to have the extra capability, and it's a nice confident style that nobody else can. So we're really excited to bring the new Grand Wagoneer.
Well, yeah, I'm having that extra help. You know, that way you don't have to have skinny horses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing worse than skinny horses.
Yeah. And but no, it's just great. I know with the new company, Stellantis, you've gone in with Peugeot and some, you know, kind of made a bigger company, a lot bigger company. How is that really going to help your technology for the future? Having that, kind of a bigger company to draw from, is that going to help a lot?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, on efficiencies with purchasing, R&D and then technology development, you know, across the larger number of vehicles, you know, we're in the top five, you know, number of, with total volume around the world now. And it's going to be really good for our customers that they will see, you know, a quicker implementation of technology over the years. So, really looking forward to more positive things to come.
You know, it's just, you guys have just, I just can't believe that you guys have done so much in the last just a couple of years, you know, with the new Wrangler and all the changes you've made. And I know at some point you're going to have to take a break and go on vacation or something. But your whole team is, they're just like superstars for the company, aren't they?
Well, you know, that's the nice thing. We do have a really, really strong group of people. And you know, we get to enjoy really the next few days and getting ready to go to Moab to connect with the most avid the most avid of our enthusiasts, you know, that can't wait to drive off road and listen to customers and really connect with our customer base out in Moab, Utah, the Easter right. Jeep Safari. Looking forward to that, but it's a really good team that we have here at Jeep, and I look forward to continue to grow.
See, now you can tow your really off-roaded, your really whack, your wild Wrangler. You can tow it with your Grand Wagoneer. That's the cool part.
Yeah, you know, in fact, it was one of the last minute ideas that we had because last time I was in Moab, I was miffed with seeing some competitive stuff hauling, you know, the lifted modded Jeeps. So now we've got a perfect solution. You have a Grand Wagoneer that can tow 10,000 pounds. You can put two of your modded rigs on the back and tow it nicely in style in a new Grand Wagoneer. So can't wait to see some of those probably next year. You know, with people in Moab.
Yeah. Now, what everybody's going to ask me as soon as this thing airs this weekend, and everybody. You know, I'll get a gazillion emails, probably at least 100, about when's it going to be available and things like that. Is this chip shortage going to affect you guys? I know it will some. How's that all going for y'all?
You know, we're managing the chip shortage thing pretty well, and we're certainly keeping up with our customer orders and trying to balance that out so our customers don't have to wait, which is the good news. And then the other good news is we've got. You know, the Grand Wagoneer is available for order right now. You can go on to Wagoneer.com and do a pre-order right now, and we're looking to have those in the marketplace the summer. So it's not far away from the marketplace at all, and customers can look and dream, or they can place their order right now. And I think we can't wait to invite new customers, you know, into the Grand Wagoneer family.
That is so awesome. Now, Jimmy, what about the Grand Cherokee? Is that going to be start building those pretty quick?
Yeah, the plant is starting up now here in Detroit. We've got a new state-of-the-art facility right here in the home of the brand. Mm-hmm. And we're building the pilots now, and actually got one in the driveway. And it's been amazing. The ride quality, the interior opulence, the quietness, the technology, with the big 12-inch screens. It's really, really nice technology. And me and Grand Cherokees, I've always got a Grand Cherokee in the driveway.
I know.
And this is the best one we've done yet. So can't wait to share with you guys and look forward to winning some more awards with that. As you know, Grand Cherokee is the most awarded SUV ever.
Right.
With a lot of help from you. This is the next generation is absolutely taking it to the next level. Capability, luxury, technology, all of what you'd expect from Jeep and the new Grand Cherokee is coming your way too.
Well, I think people are going to embrace that. I mean, it's very cool off-road, especially the Wrangler, where you can hold that 25 miles of range till you get off-road and then use it then. I think that is the coolest idea.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things we're really proud of that we're announcing this weekend as well is a new charging station. So we're going to if you weren't smart enough to remember to push the button on your Wrangler to save all of the battery for the trail.
Right.
We're going to have solar powered charging stations so that you can plug in your Jeep right at the trail. Wow. Which everybody else might think the proper place to put a charging station is in downtown, but of course the Jeep guys we put it on the trail. So we'll be showing that here this weekend.
Jim, that's great. Now, what's the website for you guys?
Jeep.com.
Jeep.com. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us as always.
Great talking to you.
All right, folks, that was Jim Morrison, Vice President of Jeep North America. Don't go away. There's more to come, including our weekly classic car segment, Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. All of it right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.